That's 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock. Time to get going. Fantastic. Welcome to Sunday Scattered from Beaver. It is absolutely fantastic to have you all with us this morning. Now, in case you're wondering, I'm not just messing around sitting watching a chick flick with Gwyneth Paltrow. This is actually directly relevant to what we're talking about this morning. This is the movie Sliding Doors. I don't know if you've seen it. In it, at the very, very start, Gwyneth is running for her train. She dodges the little child, she does the nice thing, and she just misses the train. And the storyline spins off in the direction of what happens next when she misses the train. But then it just does this little sort of reverse thing, back up to the top of the stairs. This time she's coming flying down the stairs. She just kind of like hoists the child out of the way, boof, out of the way, so that she this time manages to catch the train. So here comes child, get out of my way. She catches the train, and the whole rest of the film does this kind of split screen thing. Half of the film follows what happens to her when she misses the train, and the other half follows what happens to her when she catches the train. And it's that big question, and we all ask these big questions sometimes. What if those two little words bring a whole world of other questions? What if I should have done this, but I did that? What if I had gone when I should have stayed? What if I had stayed when I should have gone? What if I hadn't met, hadn't done? What if I had met, had done? Our entire lives are this constant process of decisions and sometimes just accidents that happen to us that lead us to be the people that we are today in the places where we're placed and with the opportunities that we have. So today's service is all about those massive what if questions. What if life had been different? And God meets us in those questions. God is part of those questions. And so we're going to start with a bit of worship that reminds us that God is with us when the what ifs turn out perfectly and we're in that place where the streams of abundance flow. God is with us when the what ifs don't go the way we had hoped and we feel like we're in the desert place. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God is with us through every set of circumstances, whether we meet John Hannah and life turns into a rom-com, or whether, as you maybe saw, somebody grabs your bag as you're getting in a taxi and life doesn't work out quite so well. God is to be praised and to be trusted and to be blessed through all of our what-ifs and all of our ups and downs. So let's sing together.
Yeah.
So thank you to Paul and Ruth for leading us in that beautiful song. It's quite a powerful song, I always find. It's a very honest song to see God in the best and the worst, in the darkest days, as well as the good ones. And before we head on from this whole idea of sliding doors, I hope you can all relate. I hope you can all think of a similar story or something that almost seemed incidental at the time that had massive consequences, and that you're able to look back through your life and say, what if that had gone differently? What if I'd made a different decision? Or what if that day had turned out a little bit differently? So we asked if a few people might be able to share their sliding doors story with us, and here's what we got.
If my A-level results would have been better, I would have ended up going to my first choice university and not my second choice, which was Queen's University to study maths. And then I wouldn't have met Ruth McKeown, who is now Ruth Jardine and has been my wife for 19 blissful years.
If I hadn't taken the risk to start a conversation with a girl standing on her own back in September 2000 on our first day of university, I wouldn't have made a friend for life and a girl who became my bridesmaid and I hers.
Way back in about 2001, I went along to see Bishop Harold Miller one day. Had this wee notion about wanting to maybe go and plant a church. Well, he listened, he seemed quite warm and positive about it. And he gave me one piece of advice. He said, why don't you go and talk to Tom Keatley? Now, I knew who Tom Keatley was, but I'd never actually met him. But I've wondered, what would life have been like if I had never met Tom Keatley?
If I hadn't played rugby, life would be different. I would have a straight nose and still have all of my teeth.
If I hadn't done SISM in Newton Breda 20 years ago, in the year 2000, I wouldn't have met a whole lot of people who have become really significant to my life since. They are godparents to my children. They are some of the oldest, best, most valued friends that I have. I wouldn't have met my friend Greg, who in turn introduced me to Pete, who in turn introduced me to Beaver. So that one week in July 20 years ago had a huge effect on the rest of my life.
Almost exactly 28 years ago, June 1992, I was invited to a youth barbecue. And I didn't want to go. I was a kind of a grumpy teenager, but my mum suggested that I do. And if I hadn't gone to that barbecue, I never would have met Chris and my life would look very different. So it's really strange to think, what if I had said no that day?
Now, I know I'm maybe a little bit biased, but that last story was kind of my favourite one. That's the one that worked out very, very well for me. And as Susan said, we hadn't even realised until we started filming that today is actually the anniversary of that barbecue. How weird is that? Now, it kind of strikes me that a lot of these stories, it's something that almost seems small or insignificant at the time, or even it's something that's quite difficult and painful at the time, that turns out to be the sliding door through which God unleashes tremendous blessing. And so we're going to go to Peter now for our Bible reading, and we're going to see that exact same process happen in the early church. Something that was difficult and painful and stressful actually turned out to be the sliding door through which the church grew and spread. Really, it was the start of the story of the church that we are still part of today. And it's all included in the first 5 words of this reading. So listen out closely for the sliding door that unleashed the whole story of the church.
Thanks, Chris. This morning's reading is taken from Acts chapter 8, reading from verse 4 through to verse 17. And please pay particular attention to the words at the start of the reading. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power known as the Great Power." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And over to Adrian.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for being with us this morning again. Back at the start of the service, we were looking at questions like, what if? Thinking about if this had happened or hadn't happened, what might have happened with the rest of my life? Now, mostly those questions would just torture ourselves. Like, what if that happened, if I hadn't met that person, or if I'd changed my job, or if I'd lived somewhere else, or what if I had been 6'4"? And part of the reason none of it's helpful is because you can't really change any of it, and you can't really answer any of it anyway. But it is possible that rather than looking back to what if, that maybe we could look the other direction and look forward. What if? Because you can do something about that. Now, that's what I'd like to take us to in our Bible story today. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. This was the first verse that Peter read to us. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. And that's why we call ourselves scattered together. It came from that very verse. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. And now verse 5, the very next verse. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. Now, I want us to pick up three things from that one verse. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. And they're all what ifs. And the first one is Philip. We don't know very much about Philip, except that back in chapter 6, we did hear something about him. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing in Jerusalem, the Greek-speaking Jews among them complained against the Hebrew-speaking Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of the food. So the 12 gathered everyone together and said, "Choose 7 from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility of providing food for those who need it over to them." This proposal pleased the whole group, and they chose Stephen, they chose Philip, and 5 others. So here's our first what if. Philip. What if that's the secret for spreading the gospel in 2020 in Belfast and Northern Ireland and to the ends of the earth? We'll hand it all over to the people in charge of the food ministry. So Carson, are you up for it? You and your team. Tracy and those who cook for the, who put food into the freezer ministry. Louise and all of those down the larder. The people down at the South Belfast Food Bank. Wouldn't it be great if we could just hand it all over to you and let you sort it all out? Now, I'm sure you would give it a go, Carson. But I don't think that's quite what we're being asked of. But we are being asked the question, who is Philip in 2020? Who are the people who are doing the ordinary things? Singing in the choir, playing the music, cleaning the building, cutting the grass, running the Sunday club, creche, looking after youth organisations, caring for the elderly, organising the Bible readings, the prayers. You could go on and on and on. The simple truth of it is, They're all Philip. And not they're all Philip. We are all Philip. That's the what if that we're faced with this morning. What if the secret to coming out of lockdown and seeing the church grow and seeing the kingdom of God expand across our city and our nation, what if it's because we're all Philip? So there's the first what if. What if we're all Philip? I can almost feel the anxiety growing as we even think about this. The second thing that comes out of this story is Acts 8:5, Philip went to a city in Samaria. Now, I'm sure you can think back to the stories that Jesus told and realise that Samaria is where Samaritans come from. And Jews and Samaritans did not get on well at all. Now, strangely, they all came from the same Jewish background. They all came from Abraham and Moses. But along through the centuries, they had a wee bit of a fallout over some of the things they believed and some of the ways they liked to practice their worship. Now, coming from Northern Ireland, doesn't this all sound a bit familiar? But anyway, they got to the point where they didn't speak to each other. In fact, hate isn't too strong. They hated each other. So much so that when Jesus needed to tell a story about how we ought to love our neighbour and about how we ought to allow the love of God to flow through us, he told a story about a Jew and a Samaritan and how the Samaritan helped the Jew and they discovered that they could be neighbours. And doesn't this seem incredibly relevant in the light of the stuff going on? And it's been going on for years, but it's been highlighted again in our news and everything of late. But what about if that's the secret? What if? What if the way forwards is about taking the gospel and the love of God to all the no-go areas? Samaria was a no-go area to Philip and the Jews in Jerusalem. But that's where they went. You're thinking, what are the no-go areas? Is this going to be dangerous? Well, can I tell you that you're sitting in one of them? One of the amazing things about what has happened in the last few months is that if you're sitting watching this, you're probably in your kitchen or in your living room or maybe listening to it in the car or it's on the computer at a workstation. Maybe you're working away even while we're doing this morning. Those have all been no-go areas for the church forever. When did you ever have church worship and a sermon and the reading of the Bible and prayers and everything going on in our kitchens or the desks where we work or in our offices or anywhere else? It's like the walls of Samaria have come down in the last couple of weeks and months and suddenly there is access in an amazing way through technology and to all sorts of places that used to be Samaria's no-go areas. And suddenly it is possible to be there. And if you're watching this or listening to this, you're in one of those places. And suddenly, like we said in the first bit, that we're all Phillips. Suddenly we realise that we all have access to all of these areas. Isn't that amazing? What if we grasp that? That there are hardly any no-go areas left. We can actually get to all people. Nearly anywhere. And the third thing that I wanted to just throw into this is that Philip went to Samaria and it says he proclaimed the Messiah. That's quite a strange phrase. But what if that is the message? The proclamation of the Messiah. The Messiah was a very technical word back in the days when it was used of Jesus. It means Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the special one. And the Romans used the same word, and when they translated it into their own language, they used the word Caesar. And it meant the emperor, the one who was in charge of it all. And I think our message in these days, let me start with what if. What if our message these days is one about the Messiah? The one who is above all of it. We live in a world, and this, I'm not trying to be political here in any way, but there's a certain amount of chaos, mistrust, confusion, lack of transparency, double standards, all sorts of things going on. I'm not referring to any particular politicians or parties or governments or anything, but that the world that we live in, and maybe it's no worse now than it's ever been, but how much would we love to have someone looking after us and looking out for us who is humble and trustworthy and kind and compassionate and full of mercy and grace and healing and strength and faithfulness. And that's our message. We have. We don't just rely on our governments and our institutions and our strategies. And that's why in the midst of everything that has been the last few months, there's something strong inside of us. And we have no reason to be proud of that, because we didn't do anything. He came to us and has filled us with that peace that is beyond all understanding. He gives us that strength. He is near to us. He gives us the courage to be generous, to reach out, to have mercy and grace in our eyes and our words. And he promises to be close to those who are ill. And he promises to be with them at the moment of passing from this life. He's the Messiah. And I don't see any reason at all why, in the light of all the stories that people are sharing around, of all the good things that people are trying to do, that actually there's a good story of how I have found strength in the midst of the chaos. It's my story. It's your story. Therefore, we're allowed to tell it. My story of how I have found the one, or that he has found me and brought me strength and comfort and peace and all those things in the middle of very difficult days. We're all Philip. There are no more no-go areas. It's all available to us. We've all got a story to tell, and it's as valid as anyone else's story. What if it became our new reality? It'd be great if we had a song about God who is faithful and strong and never lets go and is a strong rock. We have got a song. We're going to sing it, but it's in our hearts. Michelle, would you lead us?
Thank you.
and thank you to the Hudsons for leading us. Now, what if? Here's a what if to freeze your blood. What if this lovely guy hadn't ended up with us here in Beaver over this last year? We would have all missed out on meeting a new friend, and we would have missed out now on the pain of saying farewell as Rodney gets ready to head on to his new parish. So before we hand over to Rodney and Adrian, just to let the man himself tell you in his own words where he's come from and where he's heading to. So over to Rodney.
I grew up in a family of three or two boys and a girl, mum and dad, on the small family farm, which had a lovely entrance down a lane with beech trees on both sides, but also looking out over the Mourne Mountains. Grew up outside the small town of Refreland and spent my life attending St John's Church in the town. I also became organist in our sister church in Ballyward for 12 years. Probably the most important day so far in my life has been my ordination in Down Cathedral. It was a day of great joy and celebration, and something I'll always remember. I spent my digging year here in Beaver with these three, or the three of us working together. I'm not saying who is who. I'm thrilled that my appointment has been announced for the grouped parishes of Achaderg, Donaghmore and Scarva. I'm looking forward to getting to know the people and working with them.
Good morning, Rodney.
Good morning, Andrew.
It seems like a long time ago we had our first Sunday together, standing just like this.
Exactly.
Oh, how long ago was that?
9.5 months ago.
Right. Well, the world has changed somewhere in the middle of all that, hasn't it?
Very much.
It is amazing. You could never have imagined it. Well, we're here, and this is the last Sunday, the last day.
This is my last day here.
Your last day. What Sunday is this?
This is the first Sunday after Trinity.
That's great. I'm hoping months ahead you text that to me every week, so I know which one it is. That's great. Although, obviously, there are people here who tell me regularly as well which Sunday it is. So today, what we're going to do, we've just watched the candle, and that was brilliant, and I have to say the setting for where you're going looks lovely. Are you happy with it?
Oh, very much. Three small country parishes, which is very nice, I think.
Is there a supermarket close, somewhere to buy things?
A big Tesco's not about a couple of miles from the house.
Of course, right by Bridge.
Right by Bridge, yes.
Fair enough, yes. You've everything you could ever want right by Bridge. That's great, Rodney, thank you. Now, Rodney's going to be, we're going to be praying for Rodney in a few moments, and Rodney's going to pray for us as well. But first of all, Rodney, I want to say it's been great having you with us.
Thank you.
And you're much loved by everybody.
Okay. They don't know me, really.
Ah, no, we've seen the Rodney. Well, we've seen the Rodney we love, and that's been great. So I want to thank you for all of that and for how you've joined in with everything and being part of everything. And oh, there would have been so much more around Easter and everything that just hasn't happened. But no one was in control of any of that. But thank you. And you and I've enjoyed Wednesday nights in choir. Sitting over there in the row behind the back row. Listening to the crack of all those people in front of us and around us.
It has been an experience.
It's good, isn't it? I've always enjoyed that. But anyway, Rodney, sitting on the communion table here, a little gift from us as a parish. So do you want to, would you like to open that? Have we looked and see what that is? Yeah.
And see what's in.
Yeah, I tried to persuade them not to buy you biscuits, but.
I don't
know. We got these out of the trolley.
So someone didn't recognise, isn't it? Four pieces.
Oh, yes.
Oh, lovely.
You better explain that if people are left a bit out or something there.
If you can't, I don't know why you can see it or not. It's a home communion kit to deliver home communions to people who are housebound and can't get to church. Thank you very much.
Yeah. You're very welcome, Rodney. And hopefully there'll be a day soon when you'll be able to use that as well. Because at the minute, we're probably just not able to do that thing. Rodney, yes, if you go back to that lectern, because we do everything at lecterns.
Of course.
Okay. lovely. So thank you. And can I just pray?
Thank you.
I'd like to pray a prayer of thanks on behalf of all of us, Lord. This crowd here that is Beaver Church, whether we're gathered here in this building or scattered all around the place, we want to give you our thanks today for who you are, for what you've done for us, for what you continue to do being with us. And we want to thank you too for the people that you've sent among us to be part of us, some for long periods of time and others for shorter. So we want to thank you for Rodney for this brief period of less than a year that he's been with us. But thank you for what he's brought to us and who he has been among us. Because being himself is probably more important than doing. So thank you for who he is and all that he has been among us. So we want to thank you, Lord, for Rodney. And thank you for the way things have worked out for his future. Amen. Now, Rodney, if you just stand still there for a moment or two, I've asked a couple of members of the choir to pray for you. And one is going to pray for your future ministry, and the other is going to pray for your moving to your new house and to your new parish. So, let's pray.
A prayer for Rodney. Lord, thank you for the blessing of Rodney's ministry here in Beaver, for his knack of making us smile, for his many gifts, not just in the pulpit, but in lifting his voice in praise of your name. Thank you also for the compassion he has shown in his home visits. As we reluctantly bid him farewell, we ask that you will empower him with all the qualities he will need in his new role as curate in charge of Achaderg, Donoughmore and Scarva. Give him the constant awareness of your abiding presence through rough and smooth. And may your name continue to be glorified through his life and ministry. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Lord, we pray for Rodney for what must be a busy and stressful time for him as he takes his next step towards a new horizon. Guide him in all matters, both practical and spiritual, so he may make the best decisions at the right time. Give him strength as he moves into the rectory and settles in his new home. Pour your blessings upon him, Lord, that he may bond with his parishioners and them with him, so that they will take him into their hearts as we have done and support him while he faces new challenges within the community. God of compassion, be close to Rodney's family and parents who are shielding. Be their hope and light in their anxiety and darkness, and protect them with your love. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray for the church here in Beaver. Heavenly Father, I want to pray for the parish of Beaver. May you continue to work in this place by all that is said and done. Lord God, I thank you for the fellowship that is showed here, by the welcoming received and the friendships that have been forged. Lord God, as a parish, I pray that Beaver will be kept from being inward-looking or backward-looking in the work of this church. Help them to take their eyes off themselves and turn it to the world around them, to be concerned less with what we have accomplished and more on what remains to be done, that with vision enlarged and love rekindled, they may go forward to attempt new and greater things to your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Continue with the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Rodney. Now, we have a very special final hymn that we'd like you to announce. So,
we are going to sing a hymn that is not sung at this time of the year, although it could have been used maybe a couple of weeks ago at seed time. We're singing the harvest hymn, "We plough the fields and scatter." We are scattered, but we come together in God's almighty hand, that he will bring us refreshing news, that we can join and celebrate all the good gifts around us. So we join together to sing the hymn, "We plough the fields and scatter." Let us pray. May God sustain you in all your works and in all your ways, make you humble, just and true, strengthen you in holiness and righteousness, and fill your home with love and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen.
And as you're going, would you make sure and have a wee look at the thing about Stephen McKinty's fundraiser for India? It's worth having a wee look at that and check that out before you go. So, Rodney.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.